Our times are not uncertain at all. The Bible outlined them in detail.
There are more scriptural references to the tribulation than to any other historical period mentioned in the Bible. In the Old Testament, this 7 years of turmoil is also called the Day of God's Vengeance, the time of Jacob's trouble, and the time of the end.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jen Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today we consider the lateness of the hour for the entire program. In part one, Jen outlines the prominent Bible prophecy happenings in 2021. Then author and commentator Pete Garcia joins Jen for an extension of the conversation. Here is today's programming.
On the island of Patmos in the Mediterranean Sea, the Apostle John beheld a series of visions. In one of them, four mounted horses appeared on the horizon of the future as the ominous messengers of the final apocalypse. The first horse in John's vision was white, and it symbolized the rampant spiritual deception that would grip the earth in its final days. A red horse and rider followed, the images of intense warfare throughout the planet. Then a black horse thundered through the earth, wreaking havoc with famine and natural disasters. And finally, the pale horse of death made its dreaded and inevitable journey. Spiritual deception, wars, starvation, earthquakes, at intensities beyond anything humanity has ever experienced. They are early signs of the end times, prophesied by Jesus Christ.
And welcome to the program. Say, I'm going to spend the opening segment talking a little bit about what I see to be the top Bible prophecy stories of the year. And we are racing towards the end of 2021. And I've picked out about six items to run through here as the year is winding down. And news with apocalyptic implications, well, it's breaking not just daily, but hourly. So summarizing them in a compact manner is difficult, but let me try. The current year has been record-setting in so many ways. Some of those ways are tragic as the Lord tries to get the world's attention. So here's just a short list of the top harbingers of his return that happened throughout the last year, year and a half, even 2 years, that we should have paid attention to. And it's going to even intensify more as we rush into a new year. And the first is kind of obvious, and that would be America's decline and the rise, of course, of the World Economic Forum. I think many of us did not think we would be the generation to see the drastic decline of our country and as absolutely the world leader. The world is now preparing for global government, and the advancement is stunning, it's diabolical, and all efforts to advance this are cloaked in these days saving the planet. And the organization tapped to do this, of course, is the World Economic Forum. We've talked about that endlessly on this program. It's the most significant story within the last probably 100 years, and its leader, Klaus Schwab, has gathered hundreds of the global elite to carry out a satanically driven goal of a one-world government that now has global attention. So what happens to America? Let me just play a clip of Mark Hitchcock here, and he's going to offer some suggestions as to what might happen to America.
That's a big question everybody always asks, you know, where's America in Bible prophecy? In fact, it's probably the most asked question I get as I travel around. People want an answer to that question.
We get a little nervous when it doesn't appear to be a chess player.
Well, that's right. They do. And some people would say, well, America's just not mentioned, like a lot of places aren't mentioned in the Bible. Not every country is mentioned. But to me, the fact that America is the greatest economic, political, military might that's ever existed in the world, if America were a key player in the end times, you think we'd be mentioned in Scripture. A lot of people find America in Revelation 17 and 18 and say America, or maybe even some would say New York City. Wall Street is this great end time system that's called Babylon there. I don't hold that view. It's possible, but I don't hold that view. I think Babylon there in Revelation 17 and 18 is Babylon, the city of Babylon over in Iraq. I think it's going to be rebuilt. There's already things happening there today, and it's right in the middle of two-thirds of the world's oil. So I think that's going to be, that's Babylon in the end times. People say, you know, there's an unnamed nation in Isaiah 18. People say, well, maybe that's the United States. All these different places. I don't think America is mentioned in the Bible as a key player in the end times. And I think that's significant because if we're not mentioned, then something's going to happen to us if we're not a key player. There are a lot of plausible scenarios out there. You know, some type of nuclear 9/11 could take place. The moral meltdown we have in our country that's taking place, the crushing debt. All those things could certainly bring our country down. Or those things could also happen in a crippling combination with this event we know as the rapture, when all the believers in the world are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, there are Christians all over the world. Obviously, every country will lose people because there are believers all over the world. But according to statistics by men like Barna and others, they say about 8 to 10% of the people in America are true believers in Christ. That is, they believe that people are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Well, if that number is anywhere near accurate, that's some 30 million people that will disappear from America in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
So the coronavirus was the crisis. They could not let go to waste. Revelation 13 outlines the coming one world government, which will be led by the Antichrist, and they will need a crisis, and they got it. So in a brazen manner, this World Economic Forum boasts in their slogan, "Can you imagine that we'll own nothing and be happy?" And they're telling us in advance that they plan to be in control. We'll own our possessions, that they'll govern us with socialism or communism. And I believe they manifest prominently during the tribulation, from which the church is absent. Yet we see them coming to prominence and recognition already, even today. Number two, in a list of top Bible prophecy stories in the last year, we could stretch it out even to the last 2 years, would be a fear-based world willing to submit to government overreach. Again, the globalists convinced the world that it is worth giving up many, if not most, of our freedoms in the name of health safety. And during the tribulation, the left-behind world will have to give up everything. Tremendous conditioning has gone on since now March of 2020. I want to play a clip here of Glenn Beck, and he's talking a little bit about the process that we have gone through and how we have willingly given up so much of our freedom.
I don't know if you've noticed this, but the military now has been deployed to enforce the lockdown in Australia. It's a prison country again. I can't imagine the military being dispatched on our shores to make sure that you remain inside. Well, I was going to say, I don't think Americans would put up with it. But yeah, we would. Yeah, we would put up with it. I mean, why not? What else could they do to us? You know, here's the thing. We have taught the United States government and those weasels in Washington an awful lot. We have taught them that you can spy on us. You can collude with big tech. You can break all of the warrant laws. You can lock us up in our homes. You can destroy our businesses. You can tell us exactly what to do and what not to do, where to eat, where not to eat, when to eat, when we can open up, what we have to wear, what we have to put into our bodies. They can tell us anything, and we'll take it. We'll take it. We'll just keep taking it.
They have learned a lot.
They have learned a lot.
Over this period, yes.
They have learned a lot. And hopefully there are going to be a few states that will stand up now and say, yeah, that was a mistake to teach you that. That was a big mistake to teach you that.
Well, our own FBI encouraged people to turn in loved ones who might have been violating health safety. And I think that kind of betrayal is almost tribulation-esque in itself. The level to which the world has cooperated in all of this has just been staggering, and many have not submitted, but far too many have. So the ultimate loss of freedom will come via, I believe, vaccine passports, and probably forced vaccinations. And while some would say that that is just medical tyranny, they will open the door for eventually total tyranny, which will be the case, of course, during the tribulation. And the church, as we are promised, is spared from God's wrath, Revelation 3:10. And by the way, if you just joined me, you are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I'm going through a list of, I believe, half a dozen or so top Bible prophecy stories in 2021. Second half of the program, I'll be joined by author and columnist Pete Garcia. But let me just conclude with some top stories here in 2021, perhaps expanding even beyond that a little bit. But number three would be lawlessness and the rise of the spirit of Antichrist. And I've said many times that since Minneapolis is my hometown, I recognize lawlessness. 5 miles of Minneapolis was burned to the ground in May of 2020 and will never bounce back. But today's lawlessness doesn't have to be buildings being looted and burned. We have utter lawlessness coming out of Washington, D.C. So lawlessness will abound in the last days, according to Matthew 24:12. And the passage in Matthew, which of course is really the tribulation is casting a major shadow on the church age now. And that is why we have stories that we're hearing now that are shocking.
Let's get right to that breaking news.
Yeah, smash and grab thieves strike again, pulling off a big heist at the Louis Vuitton store in San Francisco's Union Square.
This comes just days after a robbery crew cleaned out a diamond jewelry store at Sun Valley Mall in Concord.
KPIX5's Kenny Choi, photojournalist Bob Horn were the first crew on the scene there tonight. Kenny?
Yeah, this is still a very active scene with a heavy police presence. We're told that they are still searching for suspects in the area. Take a look behind me. You can see some of the doors and windows of that Louis Vuitton store smashed, glass littering the sidewalk. Several streets surrounding Union Square had to be blocked off and still are. According to a police source, this began as a smash and grab, then turned into a robbery a little after 8 p.m. Spoke to one witness who says that more than a dozen people could be seen running out of the store, clinging to merchandise and hauling as much as they could. At one point, SFPD officers could be seen surrounding a gray convertible Mustang with one patrol car blocking it, several officers taking their batons to smash out the windows. Source telling us that at least one person inside that car had to be taken to the hospital. KPIX5's captured video of police detaining one person at the scene. SFPD also confirming multiple suspects have been already arrested. And there have been, of course, a number of high-end heists all over the Bay Area, including Union Square, which has been hit hard several times since last year. Back out here live, you could see that gray Mustang right near the store. Police officers and investigators still surrounding that car, searching that car at this hour. Police are responding to other stores in the area that have also been vandalized. This is still an ongoing investigation. As you can see, heavy police presence here tonight in Union Square.
Well, again, complete and utter lawlessness. The Antichrist is called the lawless one, 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Whose rise to power will be in accordance with the schemes of Satan. And the root of this evil is rebellion, and we see rebellion absolutely everywhere we turn. So since the spring and summer of 2020, we have seen the escalation of complete lawlessness in many countries as these nations prepare to greet the Antichrist and his administration. So moving on, I believe another highlight or lowlight as it comes to top Bible prophecy stories in 2021 would be the rise of the Romans 1 reprobate mind and delusional thinking. I think 4 of the most terrifying words in the Bible would be God gave them over, Romans 1:28, and that is what he does to mankind in the last days. He gives them over to a reprobate mind where to most of the people at that time, up is down, black is white, and evil is good. And that kind of thinking abounds today. Once the culture declines to a serious level, then God says enough, and he rescues his bride, the church, out of it and takes us home to heaven. He then judges the world for its depravity during the 7-year tribulation. So in the last year and a half, we have seen major leaders engage in the most delusional thinking imaginable. And if one didn't have a biblical perspective and an end-time hope, their actions would actually be terrifying. It's as though they intend for as much destruction as humanly possible. Remember, God washed his hands of many of these godless leaders, and they are recklessly careening into the very last days. And perhaps they can be summarized by this soundbite here that's going to be, it's a homecoming queen who's really a man.
Sweetwater High School made history over the weekend, crowning a homecoming queen that some might have thought would have never had a place on the court.
Our 10 News reporter Laura Acevedo caught up with the student and her principal, beaming with pride for their campus. The homecoming queen was crowned at the football game on Friday. She tells me she never thought she'd be the one to make district history.
Sweetwater High School's homecoming queen 2018 is Ms. Carl Cruz.
Carl Cruz never dreamed she'd be picked as her high school's homecoming queen.
I was like completely shocked.
But Cruz says the response has been overwhelming.
Everyone started cheering for me. I didn't really expect that from anyone.
Cruz was crowned queen at Friday's football game, the biggest game of the year in National City. The 18-year-old was the first transgender queen in the district.
After the fireworks, I just started crying my eyes out, and I was like, oh my God, I'm Suhai's first transgender homecoming queen.
The decision was a vote from the student body, something Sweetwater's principal says speaks volumes about her students.
I was extremely proud. I can't say I was surprised. Every single student should be accepted for who they are. They're all wonderful human beings that are here to learn.
Cruz admits that not everyone is accepting of who she is and has a message for those who disagree.
Every opinion is valid, but some opinions can be really harsh. So I would just say to like keep it to yourself. If you have nothing nice to say, then don't say it at all.
Her hope is that the rest of the community will one day be as accepting as her classmates.
This shows like how times have changed and then how LGBTQ people are more accepted into this community now.
In National City, Laura Acevedo, 10 News.
Again, Romans 1, reprobate mind and delusional thinking. And it now is the dominant way of thinking, certainly in the Western world. Another major bullet point, I believe, would be the escalating birth pangs as creation groans. Weather commentators have said that they have watched the calamity of natural disasters escalate with much greater frequency and greater intensity. And imagine the world is using even biblical terminology. The world has taken God out of the equation and suggests that tragedies are man-made and even the result of man-made climate change, when there are over 50 Bible verses stating that God is in control of the weather, not man. So while these will be off the chart in the tribulation, we see a foretaste of them now in the church age, and I think particularly in the last year. The world is suggesting that only a Mother Earth-type worship system will fix these natural calamities, as they refuse to recognize them as the hand of God. I think they are a stunning herald of the Lord's soon return. Well, there's one more category that I'm going to cover here. Again, I had compiled a list of the top Bible prophecy stories of 2021, and this is my last point in the narration here. I think it's a very important point nonetheless, and I think every listener will identify with the fact that there's been a marginalization of Christians, conservatives, and Jews, certainly in the last year and a half to 2 years. And the Bible says that the unbelieving world hates us, John 15:19. In the last year, that has become a harsh reality in the Western world. Righteous people, starting with born-again believers, have been called extremists, white supremacists, and comparable to the Taliban. We actually went on the Department of Homeland Security's potential terror threat list if we objected to various COVID measures or if we questioned the 2020 election. And leftist commentators said we were dreaming of a theocracy. They're partially right, because we long for Christ's ruling out of Jerusalem in the millennium. Then as we moved into the late summer of 2021, we actually saw a new target, a target of marginalization, the unvaccinated. And while this is a personal medical decision, the powers that be decided to establish rules that even unemploy millions who chose not to get vaccinated. Some were just uncertain about the vaccine, which is an experimental drug, and other people have some natural immunity and feel they just simply don't need a vaccination. So where is all of this going? Let me just play a short clip here. It's Laura Logan of Fox News, and I think she sums up where we're headed in the near future with the pandemic. Now, her comments may not be the most flattering, but they are realistic, that we will never be finished with the pandemic. We have it until the end of time, or more accurately, until the end of the tribulation and the great tribulation from which the church is absent.
As Omicron is being introduced and you hear people talking about it, Lara, what's your take on where we are and where we're going? Well, it's very simple, Pete, right? You just have to look at Africa. They didn't have the death rates from COVID that were predicted. And what is happening over time is that the entire response to COVID and everything that we were told about it from the beginning is being exposed and it's falling apart. The lies are coming apart. And really now there's no justification for putting people out of their jobs or forcing vaccine mandates for a disease that ultimately is very treatable. It's cheap to treat. Medicines are available all over the world, and it has death rates that compare very much to seasonal flu. And so in that moment, what you see on Dr. Fauci, this is what people say to me, that he doesn't represent science to them. He represents Dr. Joseph Mengele, the Nazi doctor who did experiments on Jews during the Second World War and in the concentration camps. And I am talking about people all across the world are saying this, because the response from COVID, what it has done to countries everywhere, what it has done to civil liberties, the suicide rates, the poverty, it has obliterated economies. The level of suffering that has been created because of this disease is now being seen in the cold light of day, i.e. the truth. And people see that there's no justification for what is being done. So as they're being exposed and the control is slipping away, lo and behold, another variant surfaces, and nobody should be surprised by that, because there will be more variants until the end of time. We'll never be free of them.
So I believe these are some of the primary signs of the times of the last year. And as we move closer and closer to the end of the church age, all of these issues that I've outlined are going to intensify, including the hatred of Christians and Jews and conservatives will be even more under attack. Of course, the Bible says we're to count it all joy in James 1. And for a closer look at some of these signs of the times, you might check out my newest DVD, Convergence, How Things Are All Falling Into Place. Now, what's our job to be in the meantime? I think our job in whatever time we have left is to be salt and to be light and to delay the decay and to try to wake up both the believing world and the unbelieving world, because most are absolutely sound asleep. They are convinced if they just go along with the agenda, all is going to come back to normal very shortly. Happy days will be here again, and they may be in for a rude awakening if none of those things happen as they think. So they call these uncertain times. But are they really uncertain? For those who understand Bible prophecy, the times became quite certain with the birth of modern Israel in 1948. These are the days of the budding fig tree, times of the end as a new beginning dawns, societal upheavals, natural disasters, and the threat of new and more horrible kinds of war create fear and anguish across the world. But the Bible said these things would happen during the days not long before the return of Jesus. And the Bible's accuracy should give us tremendous comfort. Through it, God demonstrates his authority and ultimate control. He did not create us, then leave us to fend for ourselves. He remains active and interested in our lives. He offers to make us part of his family. And when you're one of his, he has a Bible full of promises to give you comfort and hope in times of trouble. When I come back, I'm going to continue on this theme as I talk to author Pete Garcia about an article he's written on the last generation. And I promise you we have some very intriguing things to talk about. Let me quickly add this. We've got phonies on YouTube impersonating Olive Tree Ministries. Would you just delete them, please? Don't watch the videos because they're making fun of our ministry and me, and we're trying to get these people taken down, and YouTube doesn't seem to care a whole lot. Just ignore the phony YouTubes, would you? It's not produced by Olive Tree Ministries. Back in just a couple of minutes.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In an age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio. Are you trying to make sense of our times? as well as the issues that concern the very last days, we have brought back one of our most popular products to help you do that, Dr. Ron Rhodes' book, The End Times in Chronological Order. This book will bring all these issues into their proper order and explain the significance of the rapture of the church, the tribulation, Christ's second coming, the millennium, and the many details that surround these and all the last days events. Dr. Rhodes is one of today's finest scholars. His easy-to-understand writing style has made him one of our audience's most popular theologians. Find the book, The End Times in Chronological Order, in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or you can call our office Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You've marked the book down to just $10. Please add $6 shipping in the U.S. It is our hope to help you not just understand the times, but to have you understand how the church age winds down, as well as how the other events transpire in the end of days. You can start with this book by Ron Rhodes, The End Times in Chronological Order.
They're also pressing for this universal basic income, and this is going to be tied directly into a digital currency. And that's why they don't care now about running up a $3 trillion bill with these two bills that have gone through Congress. They know it's going to crash at some point. They've already got a backup plan in place, and they're ready to go with it. So they're just going to spend like crazy until they can crash it and then go to this new system.
We know you can't always be by a radio, so catch Understanding the Times Radio at your convenience online. Watch the video version of the program or listen to the audio at olivetreeviews.org. Then to complete archives, on YouTube, on Rumble, on LightSource, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now, Pete Garcia joins Jan to wrap up today's programming.
The rapture of the church is easily the most exciting event that could ever be imagined in the mind of men. God has given us this report that it's going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. You have to be prepared in advance. You can't get prepared when it happens.
The most detailed biblical accounts of the rapture are found in the New Testament.
Not all of us will die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout and with the trumpet call of God. First, all the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and remain with him forever.
For all of its mystery, perhaps the most compelling aspect of the rapture is its imminence. It could literally occur at any moment. And as the scriptures tell us, there will be no doubt when that moment arrives. The entire planet will be shaken by a thunderous shout and a piercing trumpet blast. Then, in cemeteries around the world, graves will split open, and Christians who have died will rise from the ground. Not as decaying flesh and bone, but as living human beings with transformed bodies, ready to meet Christ in the air. An instant later, millions of people from every walk of life will vanish as they too will encounter their Lord between heaven and earth. Regardless of age or nationality, every man, woman, and child who is taken has one thing in common. Each of them believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the human race.
Well, I'm glad you could stick around for part two of my programming. And yes, those are the kinds of issues we're covering for the full hour. It's known as eschatology, or the doctrine of the last days. We talk about it frequently on this programming. And I talked on air to Pete Garcia several months ago now. We took a look at what's known as the giant, and that's traveling the world, and we're pondering if it might tie in somehow to the image of the beast. And I've invited Pete back on air today to share just a bit. And you can learn more about him at his website, rev310.net. I'll say that again later on. And Pete does have a chapter in the newest Terry James book, Lawless, The End Time War Against the Spirit of the Antichrist, which we carry. It's in my online store. And there are two or three major stories we're going to look at, just as time allows. Pete, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me again, Jan.
I'm going to be quoting a couple of your articles, and just to get the conversation started, I'm quoting from an article of yours. I believe it's titled The Last Generation. I actually had a DVD I made by that title, so I gravitated easily to this article. And in it, you're stating about how our times have changed, and particularly since the pandemic came along, which is now going to be 2 years in March. And you say this: people had their lives to get busy getting on with. They had their careers. They had their financial investments. They had their sports teams and their pet hobbies. The majority of conversations I have had with church people about the coming end have always felt like forced conversations because they didn't want to talk about it. And then you say, you'd think, given the sorry state of affairs these days, the so-called Christians would be excited about the change in the global administration, but they aren't. And you say people are so invested in the here and now, it's very difficult for them to see the forest for the trees. As is often the case, it takes a supremely disturbing event, on a par with 9/11, to wake people from their slumber. And then there was COVID. And then you conclude, if any good news came out of this so-called pandemic and the subsequent fear apocalypse that has since ensued, it's that some Christians have finally awakened, biblically speaking. The global shutdowns have taken away their livelihoods, their sports, and their various forms of entertainment, and forced them to pull their head out of the sand, earthly distractions, and to look up. So, Pete, what you're saying here is that COVID became the game changer, right?
Absolutely. It's one of those things that's forced people that were pretty insular and focused on what was going on in their lives to look around and not have the luxuries of sports and not have the luxuries of going to shop or going to work. Now they're forced to stay home. They're forced to look at the world that's rapidly changed in front of them and take stock of their lives.
I think the thing that hits home to me is that people who don't understand the topic of the hour here today, eschatology or the doctrine of the last days, people who don't care about this, who have walked away from it, who mock it, they can't possibly understand the times. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Part of the issue that they have with the Bible is that the Bible doesn't come out and say the mark of the beast is going to be a microchip. It doesn't say it's going to be a quantum dot tattoo. The Bible gives us, in most cases, summaries of what's going to happen with 100% accuracy. Mm-hmm. And then as we watch these things get flesh on the bone, if you will, it takes a lot of people by surprise. They're also not connecting the dots between the things that the Bible talks about and the things that are happening day to day.
In another one of your articles, you hit on something that is, I think, one of the intrigues here of late 2021. And you talked about the climate summit in Glasgow. This is now several weeks ago. And you referenced good old Prince Charles. He made a speech in Glasgow, which has many of us scratching our heads. I'm just going to play. It's a minute and 14 seconds here. And then I want to come back and talk about it with you because he's talking about somebody unidentified in his speech, which I think is just an intrigue.
As we tackle this crisis, our efforts cannot be a series of independent initiatives running in parallel. The scale and scope of the threat we face call for a global systems-level solution based on radically transforming our current fossil fuel-based economy to one that is genuinely renewable and sustainable. So, ladies and gentlemen, my plea today is for countries to come together to create the environment that enables every sector of industry to take the action required. We know this will take trillions, not billions of dollars. We also know that countries, many of whom are burdened by growing levels of debt, simply cannot afford to go green. Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector. With trillions at its disposal, far beyond global GDP, and with the greatest respect, beyond even the governments of the world's leaders, it offers the only real prospect of achieving fundamental economic transition.
Did Prince Charles accidentally let it slip that the globalists have a person in mind to run the entire world? He said his, referred to a his. Could it be one of Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum leader up-and-coming proteges? This is something that Pete has written about and that I have pondered here since about a month ago. Pete, give me your thoughts, because you've written extensively about this.
Prince Charles is a long-time doomsday sensationalist, and even though he doesn't command the level of authority that he would have as if he were a king, he does have a large platform, and he is an influencer at the global scale. He says a couple of things that are interesting. Obviously, the one where he mentions with trillions at his disposal. And obviously, this speech was written beforehand.
Yes.
It wasn't something he was just caught in an interview to a reporter. This is something that he wrote down or had somebody write down for him and he reviewed. My estimation is that they do have somebody in mind. Mm-hmm. And Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum, he started a program back in the 90s called the Young Global Leaders, or it was renamed that in 2004. And out of this program, they've had a number of current and former world leaders, Angela Merkel, Tony Blair, Emmanuel Macron, California's Governor Gavin Newsom, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, and I mean, there's a laundry list of the who's who of these folks, and they're all of the same mind. They're all globalists.
Right.
They all think that the only way to fix the problems in the world is to unite as one. At his disposal is, in my mind, that they do have somebody in mind. Who that person is, we don't know just yet, but we would assume that this person is of the same like-minded globalist agenda that the rest of them are. The second thing that he says here that's interesting is he says that we also know that countries, many of whom are burdened by growing levels of debt, simply cannot afford to go green. And I think what he's addressing here is the national debts that are across the Western nations. Ours, you know, we're at $29 trillion. At some point, we are not going to be able to meet that agenda of going green because it's just too catastrophic to our country and to our economy and to the global economy. So I think that they're also pressing for this universal basic income. And this is going to be tied directly into a digital currency. And that's why they don't care now about running up a $3 trillion bill with these two bills that have gone through Congress. They know it's going to crash at some point. They've already got a backup plan in place, and they're ready to go with it. So they're just going to spin like crazy until they can crash it and then go to this new system.
Well, as you say, you cited the Young Global Leaders graduates. And this is important stuff, folks, because it goes back 30 years. And Mr. Schwab started out training folks when they were younger, obviously Angela Merkel some 30 years ago, Tony Blair 30 years ago, Emmanuel Macron only since 2017, obviously Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos in their earlier years, as well as a matter of fact, Chelsea Clinton is on this list, who's been trained to become a global leader and have some sort of a role in the whole end time scenario that the Bible outlines. So these are things to pay attention to. Just what on earth Prince Charles knows, we may never know. Frankly, I expect the church to be removed from this planet much sooner rather than later, and we may never know some of these things. I want to move on in the interest of time, and I'm talking for this segment with Pete Garcia. Learn more at his website, rev310.net, and that stands for Revelation 310, wonderful verse, rev310.net. And that is a headline that jumped out at me. And we're still in this whole topic of COVID and how it's changed the world in less than 2 years. Absolutely set it upside down. Headline from Sweden, get your COVID vaccine passport in a chip in your hand. And then it gives a video. Unfortunately, that is in Swedish, so I can't play it here really. But the article states this, over the last few years, Swedish workers have volunteered to have microchips implanted in their hands so they no longer have to carry cash, ID, keys, etc. Microchips are gaining popularity in Sweden, and now Swedes are getting COVID vaccine passports implanted in their hands or elsewhere under their skin. And then the article in Sweden's daily newspaper says, get your COVID certificate in a chip in your hand or elsewhere under the skin. It is increasingly popular to insert a chip into the body with different types of information, and now you can also insert your COVID certificate in the chip. The article concludes the Swedish Public Health Agency announced that it is introducing vaccine passports for every event over 100 people, and then beginning back on December 1st, Swedes will need a vaccine passport to go virtually anywhere. The microchipping is voluntary, by the way, but it will give some time, and the COVID police will make it mandatory in order for people to participate in society, both specifically in Sweden, as this article is pertaining to Sweden, but really around the world. Pete, I'm sure you saw that article and have a thought or two on it.
I do. The bottom line for the fourth industrial revolution, which is what Klaus Schwab and the globalists and all of these folks that are pushing this, is that everything that can be automated will be automated, and that includes the human body. The natural evolution, if you will, of where technology went from the first industrial revolution to the second to the third and now into the fourth, we are seeing everything connected to the internet. If we look at the Mark of the Beast in Revelation 13, 16 through 18, the Bible gives us a cursory, like it's 666, it's the number of the name of the man, and it is this system that is going to be used to control all buying and selling, but it's going to also incorporate this idea that COVID has helped usher in this age where we need to embed medical information into the human body. It'll be like this three-legged compliance measure that will come about during the tribulation. This one chip will have your medical information, right. It'll have your social credit score, your social passport, if you will. And then it'll have the digital currency portion to it, the financial passport. So you'll have a health, social, and financial passport all wrapped up into this one microchip or whatever it ends up becoming. What we're seeing with Sweden and with other countries is a form of conditioning and desensitization to that type of automation that will come to the human body.
Folks, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line Pete Garcia, who is an author and commentator. And Pete, you have a new book out. I believe it's fiction. And why don't you give it about a one-minute plug? Go ahead.
My book is called HOBO, Volume 1. Stands for Homeward Bound, so it's an acronym. It's about a retiring Army major that's deployed to Afghanistan right around the time that the American economy crashes. Really, it's a story about a man who is in the process of losing everything and finds God, redemption, and purpose at the end of the world. So it has a lot of Bible prophecy in there. It's told in a fictional story format. It's available on Amazon. Go to Google, just type in Pete Garcia, Amazon, and it should pull up fairly quickly.
To clarify, folks, we are not carrying it in our online store, so you need to follow Pete's guidelines there as far as getting a hold of his book. What we are carrying is the Terry James book, Lawless, and Pete has a chapter in Terry's book, Lawless, End Times War Against the Spirit of Antichrist. You can find that at olivetreeviews.org and just go to our online store or give my office a call. Pete, you have been a major in the U.S. Army, and you actually spent some significant time in the Middle East. You and I have had a conversation about it's pretty obvious that the conflict is growing between Israel and Iran, and I'm going to play a clip of Amir Sarfati. And this is just here in the last few days. He's giving an update on his observation about what could be a pending war in the Middle East between Israel and Iran. Folks, if this happens, we don't know if and we don't know when, but if it does happen, the entire world will be destabilized. Not saying Israel shouldn't do this, because Iran is plotting and scheming and planning to obliterate the nation of Israel, which God won't let happen, by the way. But let's play that clip of Amir and then come back and talk about it.
Ever since I landed back from Dubai and from Europe, we've been watching something quite remarkable. The Israeli Air Force exercises are the most intense I've ever seen. And may I even add, the planes are fully equipped. My neighbors, they told me that the feeling when those F-16s are flying above us is as if it's completely fully ready for a war. Now, I want to connect the dots between three things. First of all, the Israeli defense minister just said yesterday, Israel is getting ready, is preparing itself for a war with Iran. This is important that you understand that we don't normally say those things publicly. As far as I know, this is the first time when an Israeli defense minister on live TV is saying that. Me and the prime minister are fully coordinated. The military is fully prepared. I also want to tell you that over the last 2 months or so, I've never seen a series of so many exercises in the civilian population to know how to behave in a major rockets attack. So one, Israel is getting ready to strike in Iran. Two, the Israeli population is being prepared for a long missile attack on Israel. And three, there is a report that is coming out that Iran already acquired enough enriched uranium for a bomb. And now all Iran has to do is to put it together and create that bomb. Now, why am I saying all of this? Because there is a very big dispute right now between Israel and the U.S. administration. The U.S. administration is trying to get back to the Iran deal, but the Iranians are just laughing at them, and it's a circus what's going on. Iran knows that America cannot do anything. Iran is demanding that all U.S. sanctions will be lifted, and that's the only thing we want to talk about. What we have is this. Iran is running towards nuclear bomb. America is not really calculating the full picture of what's going on. Iran was fully emboldened by what they saw with the American withdrawal from Afghanistan. Israel and America are not in agreement on how to handle the situation. The Americans told the Israelis, you can't really drop a bomb anymore. The Iranian nuclear sites are much more sophisticatedly hidden from all of you. In other words, America is telling Israel, don't do it. It's not going to work. Israel is telling America, we are getting ready to do it. Iran, now comes another thing. All the Iranian proxies in the region, in Syria and Lebanon, other places, over the last few days and maybe a couple of weeks, we see that they are getting ready for something. They move all their rockets and headquarters from far away places into civilian populated area. They learn from Hezbollah in Lebanon, and they learn from Hamas in Gaza. If you hide yourself within civilian population, it's going to be hard for Israel to drop the bombs without being accused in the international court for committing war crimes. So basically, what is going on right now is all sides are ready for a full-blown confrontation. And I'm saying that because I've never seen anything like this before here. And then I was reading some of the comments of people about that. And somebody said, if Israel will risk striking Iran, watch what he wrote. And I'm talking about a secular Israeli military person. He said, if Israel will strike Iran, there is a danger that Turkey and Russia will respond. And I'm thinking to myself, has this military officer been reading Ezekiel lately? Because I've been talking about the destruction of Damascus as probably the thing that will escalate the whole situation and will probably cause Ezekiel 38 to come to pass. But should Israel go all the way to Iran and strike the selected nuclear military sites, this is another level as well. And we might see some immediate reaction. I'm saying all of that because these are the things on the ground. There's a lot of things that are not being said. A lot of things are under the surface. But I think all of you needs to know that Israel is officially announcing that it is getting ready for a war with Iran. They don't say if it's going to matter of days or weeks or months, but it will happen. That's what they say.
Hey folks, you can get updates like that from Amir if you sign up for his YouTube channel and just sign up for updates. And they're usually several times a week on YouTube. Pete, you've got several years in the U.S. military. You're a major in the U.S. Army, and you were actually deployed to the Middle East for a good season as well. Therefore, you know, as he pointed out, nuclear sites in Iran are hidden, unlike the strike that they did in Iraq in the early 80s, one reactor out in the open. This is a whole new challenge.
Yeah, that 1981 strike in Iraq was called Operation Babylon, and I see a lot of correlations between then and now in terms of international pressure for Israel not to do this. We're seeing the U.S. under the Biden administration also begin to give pushback saying don't do it. But Israel realizes that it has a very limited window of time, exactly to what Amir said. In 2015, Benjamin Netanyahu was saying that it was within a year that Iran could get enough nuclear material to create a bomb. And now the estimates are months to weeks. So in my best hypothesis would be that it would be sometime in the spring of 2022 that they strike. And that is largely due to weather. The weather in the Middle East in the winter is pretty terrible. It's wet and overcast. And in the summertime, it's brutally hot. And I just don't see Israel going much further beyond that to attack those sites at Fordo, Natanz, and Erech. And yeah, it's different from Operation Babylon in the sense that it's three different facilities. They're underground, they're hardened. But technology has also changed a lot since 1981, and they have the ground-penetrating arsenal that they can use. And not only that, but there's cyber warfare now, there's electronic warfare, so there's all manners of ways that they can conduct this. I just don't think they're going to wait out the 3 years for the Biden administration to change. The Iranians are not going to wait because they can't risk Trump coming back in a second time or some equally conservative Republican coming in. So everybody at this point is kind of the mad dash. Iranians are trying to sprint to get to the bomb, and the Israelis are going to sprint to stop them. I think 2022 is going to be a crazy year, and I think it's going to kick off with some fireworks.
Your best guess is the spring of 2022 when this could be pulled off.
Correct.
Because of weather and related things. I mean, my goodness, they've got roughly 1,100 miles by air to travel. So again, this is a supreme challenge. It will take the grace of God to pull this off. Pete, whether or not we're here to see this, it's hard to say. It certainly could be before spring of 2022. Could be tomorrow. Yep. But I hear what you're saying, that the more opportune time weather-wise would be spring of the new year. By the way, just because we're on the Middle East and reflecting here for a moment or two on the debacle, absolute disaster of Afghanistan, in that you had so many years in the Middle East, give me your thoughts. Number one, we left about $85 billion in weaponry behind. Could this not be used in the Gog Magog war? I think it very well could be because Afghanistan is a part of the Gog Magog alliance. But give me your thoughts.
I was there in 2008 and again in 2013. In 2008, I remember asking, what are we doing here? What is our objective? Because even then, it seemed like we were trying to fight to a stalemate. It was even worse in 2013 with regards to just the general attitude of what's our mission here. So you fast forward to 2021. You know, in 2020, Trump made the arrangements for there to be a withdrawal from Afghanistan, conditions-based. Biden took that and ran with it as an excuse to get out, no matter what the cost, despite the fact that we have troops in Germany and Korea and other places around the world for decades. So I'm not sure what was the why behind why we had to get out exactly at that time, regardless of what it was going to do to our geopolitical standing. I think it was a calculated move by the Biden administration to reduce U.S. or American geopolitical standing in the Middle East, to signal to the world that we were ready to take a step off the stage and let somebody else run things for the foreseeable future. And I think that that move by us in Afghanistan signaled to our enemies, primarily Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, that we are not going to stand up anymore in the Middle East. That we are withdrawing from that area of the world. And that's emboldened them. And every time that we've seen Americans or the American administration either become too distracted, like was the case under Bush in 2008 when Russia invaded Georgia. We were so distracted with the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. We let that slide, and then we see it again with Russia in 2014 when they went into Crimea under the Obama administration. Anytime our enemies see that we are not on our A game, they are going to take full advantage of that. And I think that what we signal to them now, for reasons that are beyond my understanding, is that our enemies are going to take advantage of that situation now. So yes, you're right. Afghanistan, primarily with regards to the Taliban, the Haqqani network, and all those different groups that are aligned against Western influence, are going to join in this bandwagon that becomes the Gog Magog coalition. And they're going to come very well armed now, because now they're going to
very
have
well armed.
$85 billion worth of U.S. military aircraft, weapons, vehicles, the whole gambit.
All the Stan nations, Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, a lot of those Stans, Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, those nations represent Magog and that coming war, Ezekiel 38-39. We reference that a lot on this program. Just take some time to read Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's forming on the horizon. It really is. Other nations are going to be involved. Russia, Turkey, Libya, Sudan, Iran. They're going to march against Israel. And then the passage says, and many nations with them. So perhaps there'll be another couple of dozen. We don't know. Just lists those nations, and then many nations will be coming with them. I don't believe it's Armageddon, but it's a war that is on the horizon. Pete, you wrote an article here, and you're talking about some things that are taking place that show us the lateness of the hour. Again, you refer to global government. The third Jewish temple, I just pulled a headline off of the internet about incredible activity that's going on as we speak. Practice run for third temple, reenactment of several temple ceremonies planned. This is planned for the early part of December here this month. And you talk about the image of the beast, which we actually spoke about on air a couple of months ago. And now we've just talked about some things that could be taking place in 2022. Did you ever think you'd see the day you'd be a part of this generation?
No, not by a long shot. I remember in 2011, 2012, when the whole Mayan calendar thing was going on. Even then, I thought, no, we've still got a while to go. But now I'm looking around, I'm like, wow, this could be any day, literally. This, so many things have become unhinged in the world. It's getting crazy.
And a trigger point, as you've said, this hour was, of course, the pandemic, COVID, which has enabled a lot of things to play out that I think we wondered how would it all happen. And the pandemic came along, and now the pieces of the puzzle are quickly falling into place. Learn more about Pete, his articles, his books, etc., at rev310.net, rev310.net. I'm just going to go out of the program with a little saying I use now and then, and I encourage you to do this. Balance of this year and in the new year, won't you look back and thank him? Look around and serve him. Look ahead and trust him. But always look up and expect him. He is coming again. I maintain he's coming again much sooner rather than later. And I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week. Blessing your
name. Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. At 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. We hope an emphasis on the signs of the times today has comforted you that everything the Bible predicted is falling into place.